Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Rick, wherever you are. Probably on the road, coming back from Daytona, right? Well, it's good to be back with you. I'm not going to take a lot of time. You already know I'm a U.S. missionary on the team at Missio Dei this last year. My part on the team was a little different. I did a lot more of mentoring of the staff staff disciplers, and so that's what we do. That's who I am. So that lets you know what we do, and most of y'all know that, so I'm not going to take more time with that. There are some workbooks on the back table. This is one of the newest ones called the Beatitudes, and how many of us know we need to grow in the Beatitudes? Boy, that was weak. That was weak. I know I need to. I mean, every day. You know, I'm thankful that every day His mercies are new. Amen? Every day. Not just one day, but every day His mercies are new. Amen. Well, it is good to be back with you again. If you'll turn with me, we're going to go to two places. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. So if you'll turn there, and I'm going to read one or two verses there. Then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. So if you'll find those two places, you can put your finger in Matthew chapter 16. And man, She didn't know what I was preaching on this morning, and I'm going to be preaching on a disciple, one who dies to be resurrected. One who dies. God is calling us to be disciples, not churchgoers, even though church is a part of being a disciple. Coming to church, being taught, listening, applying it to our life. But God has not just called us to listen, there are people who go to Sunday school every week that are not disciples. Not a biblical disciple. There are those who teach Sunday school. There are those who preach who are not really biblical disciples. So what we're going to look at this morning is what are some ingredients of a biblical disciple? Now listen, this is going to be a challenging word, I'm telling you this morning. As I was studying this, and this morning as I was meditating back over this, the Lord stepped on my toes a few times. Amen? So He's going to step on our toes this morning, but can I tell you that if we will practice the principle of dying to self, we will live a resurrected life in which we will experience what we sang about this morning. The kingdom of God will come to earth, and the rule and reign of God will come into our lives, and He will do more in us and through us than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So God wants us to die so that we can live the resurrected life. Let's go to Philippians 3 and verse 10. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His what? Death. Listen, to live the resurrected life, we have to learn to die.
Amen. Amen.
Now listen, this is not a negative message this morning. This is a positive message, because when we learn to die, then the resurrection person and power of the Lord Jesus Christ will flow in us to work in us, to work powerfully in us, but to work powerfully through us.
Amen.
But we first have to die. It's like I've become a quarter-time personal trainer at a gym. And I'm working with a middle school football player, and I'm telling him, listen, man, you have to go through the pain to get the victory.
Yes.
And if you're willing to prepare through the pain, when you face that nose guard on that those Friday nights or Thursday nights, because you have prepared more than him, you're going to have victory over him. It's the same way with us. When we work through being disciples that die to self, we will live a life that when the enemy comes against us, we will be able to defeat him. Now, let me say this. We give the devil way too much credit. You see, because dying to self has nothing to do with the devil. It has everything to do with me. You see, because as Christ followers, we have authority and power over the devil. But the problem is not the devil. The problem is Bruce. It's me. It's self. Glory. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must what? Turn to your neighbor and say, deny yourself. Now, wife, when you go home, remind your husband of what he said. And husband, remind your wife of what she said to you. Because I'm going to tell you, Donna works at the probate court, and if I see somebody coming in there and they say, why are you here? Oh, we're going to get married. I said, oh, you're going to get married? But then where there's a burial, when a mate has learned to die to self what self wants, there is a resurrected marriage that takes place, that when people look at your marriage, they don't see death. They see the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. If anyone come after me, he must deny himself and what? Take up his cross and follow me, for whoever wants to save his life will what? But whoever loses his life for me will what? Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring revelation to us this morning that we would grow in taking steps to die that we might live a resurrected life. And Lord, we thank you for it. Amen. I forgot to tell you that word books are one for $10, two for $15. In this world, you know, of today, there's a theme to live by, and it's this: do your own thing, satisfy yourself. You see, the reason why we have so many divorces in this nation is because we have two people that are in a marriage that are in the marriage to get out of it what they can get out of it instead of dying to themselves and seeing what they can give to it. Y'all didn't know you were coming to a marriage conference this morning, did you? Listen, I'm learning this. The Holy Spirit convicted me a few weeks ago about the type of husband that I've been. And I don't abuse my wife. And, you know, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. And I'm the same way about being a disciple. I teach discipleship, leadership. But listen, that doesn't mean I'm perfect at it. And that doesn't mean you're perfect. We're taking steps to grow in it. Amen? You see, in this world, it's a do your own thing. It's a satisfy yourself. And when denying yourself and taking up your cross and losing your life is preached, sometimes that can be met with a cold resistance. Because we all have to deal with selfishness. But to be a true disciple of Christ, we're told here that there is the principle of we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and lose our life that we might find it. So what does it mean to deny ourselves? It means this. It means to disregard ourselves. To disregard ourselves. The word disregard means to pay no attention to. Oh my goodness. We live in a world in which everything, man, the spotlight's got to be on me. But here it says to deny ourselves, to pay no attention to what I want. It means to leave out of consideration. It means to ignore. Now Donna is a coupon shopper. And man, I am so glad. I mean, she is skilled at it. I'm telling her, you need to be doing workshops at churches and stuff for people because, I mean, she'll go and our bill will be $247 and she'll pay $47. Tell me that girl ain't good. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes she's going coupon shopping, and when she goes coupon shopping, how long do you go? A couple hours. And boy, I have to really die to myself to go. But the Holy Spirit dealt with me about that a few weeks ago, and he said, Bruce, you're not even to consider yourself. The word disregard also means to ignore. That means that when she says, I'm going coupon shopping for 900 hours, I'm to say, honey, I just want to go and be with you. I don't care how long it is, as long as I'm with you. Wow, Lord, I didn't know you were going to turn this into a marriage conference. But to deny ourselves means to lose sight of self and what self wants. I tell you, our lives would be different. Our churches would be different. Our communities would be different if we would live by these principles. To lose sight of means to no longer be able to see. To deny ourselves means to forget about ourselves and our own interest. To forget means to omit or neglect. We must give up all right to ourselves. Well, we live in an age where, bless God, I have rights. My wife is not meeting my rights. Well, just deny yourself. Let her see Jesus in you. That might help, husband. The Bible says, love our wives how? Like we want to. Love our lives, our wives, as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave. We're to treat our wives like queens. We're to nurture them and cherish them and love them. But to do that, husband, we have to die to self. If you want a resurrected marriage, if you want a resurrected friendship, if you want a resurrected relationship with Jesus, we can't get past denying ourselves. You see, to deny ourselves means we give up all rights to our own selfish ways. My! You see, giving up all rights is to... giving up all rights is to give up even our own selfish opinions. Boy, we have strong opinions. I had a lady, first church we pastored. First week, first Sunday, she walked up to me and she said, Pastor, you're going to find out I'm a very opinionated person. You know what I said to her? I said, it's okay as long as it's God's opinion and not yours. Yeah. Guess what? She left the church. You know what? She needed to. You know, I think Jesus, it says in John 6 that Jesus spoke a pretty harsh word, eat my flesh and, drink my, and it says the disciples no longer followed him. In these last days, we're really going to find out who the true blue disciples are, Who the genuine ones are. It's going to be those who will give up our own selfish way, our own selfish opinions. You see, it's like my selfish desires and wants don't even exist. Donna and I have done marriage counseling with numerous couples. And the major problem is selfishness. You see, it means to deny ourselves means we no longer are the leader of our life, but we let Him lead. It is to let Him be in the driver's seat. For him to be in the driver's seat means we receive the best life he has. Oh, listen, since I, just these past few weeks, since I have denied myself, man, I feel like we're dating again. I mean, I feel like we just met and man, we're dating. I mean, we're in the empty nest. Oh, glory to God. You're not taping this, are you? Don't let my kids get a hold of this. We love them. I mean, we love them. We love our grandkids. But I'm going to tell you something. When it's just us, it's like, oh, baby. Well, anyway, I better move on. It's let him be in the driver's seat of our life. It's to let him be in the driver's seat of our friendships. It's to let him be in the driver's seat of our marriages. You see, we must remember that self-denial is not something to be judged. But it's something to be celebrated. It's something to be enjoyed. It is joyous because we understand who he is and what he has done for us, and we understand the benefits of the resurrected life. What God can do in us and through us. Not only did it say that we need to deny ourselves in this passage, but what else did it say? It said that we need to take up our cross. We need to take up our cross and follow Jesus. To take up our cross. We are called as a disciple to take up our crosses. It's not, listen, taking up our cross is not an event. It's a lifestyle. You see, that's the problem with us in the church today, is we think taking up our cross is an event. But not a lifestyle. Every day we have to learn to die to ourselves. Paul said, I die sometimes. Is that what he said? Paul said, I die when I want to. Paul said, I die when I feel like it. Is that what he said? Did he say, I die when it's convenient? Did he say, I die when it's comfortable for me? No, he said, I die daily. You see, it's something that we live out every day. The word or phrase take up means that when a person was condemned to be crucified, a part of the sentence was that they should carry the cross on which they were to die to the place of execution. To take up means to get into one's hold or possession by a voluntary action. It's voluntary. It's not where God makes us. It's not where God's going to force us, but it's where we submit. To take up means to keep a resolution. January, how many of us made resolutions? How many of us kept them? You see, it means to keep a resolution. We have to make the decision to take up our cross. It's not based upon how I feel. Listen, when I was at the house the other day, and because the students are gone for the summer, I'm at the house, and I'm doing something that I like to do, and it just popped into my head, vacuum. I'm like, what? Vacuum. You know what? That was one of the most spiritual things I did all day. Was vacuum. Why? Because that wasn't my interest. But I tell you, when I got done, I felt so good. Because I was living the resurrected life. To take up means to be determined. To starve the flesh. It means no matter what, even if I don't feel like it, even if it's not convenient, and most of the time we won't feel it, and most of the time it won't be convenient, even if it's not comfortable, most of the time it's not going to be comfortable for us. So he said, take up, what do we take up? We're to take up the cross. You see, Jesus, in Matthew 27:31, it says that Jesus carried his own cross till he fainted with fatigue and exhaustion. The cross was usually composed of two rough beams of wood united in the form of the figure of a cross. You see, Matthew 27:31-32 tells us that the cross is an instrument of death. To carry it is burdensome sometimes. Sometimes it was disgraceful. Sometimes it was trying to the feelings. Oh, just remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane where he said, "Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done." It consists simply in doing our duty and let the world think of it as they want. It's like this. When I played college football, I had a young man that came to me one time, and my roommate, he looked at, we have any kids in here? I'll just say magazines that men shouldn't be looking at. And I was reading my Bible. And the middle linebacker came in the room, and he was, you know, had his magazine, and I had my Bible out, and he said, "Oh, we got a Jesus guy in here," and he started making fun of me, and I said, "You know what?" I said, I don't think Jesus was a sissy, because let me take some spikes and a nail and drive them through your hands and feet. Well, you know what? When that middle linebacker had some problems, he didn't go to the young man with the magazine. I felt like Jesus. He came to me at night in private and said, I've got some problems and I need some help. You see, it doesn't consist in us making trouble for ourselves. We don't go out there and intentionally offend people. But if the way I live offends somebody, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stop living that way just because you don't like it. You see, this every follower of Jesus is required to take up their cross. The crucified life puts the old nature to death. Listen, that's what we need in the church more than anything. We need to resist the devil, but what we need in the church are Christ followers who will gently die to themselves so that there'll be the resurrected life. You see, to take up my cross is to kill off the selfish self. It's to kill off the selfish self. It's to say no to self-centeredness. It's to die to my own selfish personal rights. The I deserve mindset. My goodness. We know it's in the world, but guess what? It's in the church too. Donna and I are in a different church just about every Sunday and some Wednesdays. And I'm going to tell you, pastors don't go, "Man, I'm fighting the devil." They go, "Man, this person and that person and this person and that person." And they think that I'm, you know, they deserve this. And you know what you deserve? You know what I deserve? We deserve hell. What we deserve is hell. We deserve to be walking around hopeless, helpless, and hurting and headed to hell. That's what you want, what you deserve? "I deserve, bless the Lord. I've been in this church 20 years. Well, you want what you deserve? It won't be the mercy of God and the grace of God if you have that kind of attitude. Oh, I knew there wouldn't be much shouting in this one. You know, you preach those, you know, "Oh, you're the best. And man, you can do it. And dream God's dreams." And, you know, boy, you get a lot of shouts. Preach something like this. "Oh, Jesus, when is he going to shut up?" You see, to take up the cross is an execution stake in which we drive it into our self-centeredness and we die to selfishness. You see, we're to increase in selflessness. We are to have a continuing characteristic of dying to ourselves. It probably wouldn't hurt for us to write a question and put it on our refrigerator door of our refrigerators. And it'd be this: how can I die to myself today? Oh, Jesus. I don't know if there'll be many notes on the refrigerators, but that's a very practical thing that we can do. You see, Paul said, I die daily. It is a full surrender of oneself, of ourself's will to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. This not only entails conversion, but it an increasing of full consecration to God. You see, when we die to ourselves, we're becoming more consecrated to God. We're living out that life that we're Holy Spirit filled. We're set apart. We're saints of God. We're walking in that resurrected life. You see, John 3:30 says we are to decrease and He is the increase. You know what that means? It means that we are to demote ourselves and to promote God.
Yes.
And promote other people. Listen, if you can't submit to a person, you can't submit to God. Oh, Jesus, I don't know who that was for, but I felt that one. If that's for you, You see, to demote ourselves is to reduce, to bring down. To promote ourselves, or to promote God is to advance Him, to flourish His will, His plans, His goals. Let me share this with you. I was under a lead pastor one time as a student pastor. Lead pastor called me into his office and said, Bruce, I want you to stop doing this. When he said that, there was something in my heart that I just in my heart, I did like that. And it was he and I behind closed doors, so I just spoke. He and I had a very good relationship, so I just spoke very frankly with him. And he said, well, I'm your spiritual authority, and according to the Bible, you need to do what I'm telling you to do. And I said, yes, sir. And when I walk out this door, that's the end of this. I'm not going to tell anybody else. I'm not going to go to somebody and go, man, can you believe that Pastor did this and he said this and he's not going to. Oh, you know what that is? That's having a chorus spirit. Just look at Numbers 14. See what happened to Korah and his mighty gang. But you know what I did? I went to the house and I prayed and I got my Bible and I went out in the backyard and I was walking around, and guess what? God even gave me scripture to back up what I was feeling. And I was like, oh, I've got scripture. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to take this back to Pastor. The Holy Spirit said, no, you're not. He said, this is a test. Do you want to be right, or do you want to live in right relationship? Do you want your way or my way? Because if you want your way, it's going to be the highway. Let me tell you. I went back to that pastor the next morning. I was in prayer in my office. I had office prayer and home prayer. And the Holy Spirit said, get a bucket of water and a towel and go wash his feet. I got a bucket of water, a towel. I went and knocked on his door. And I said, Pastor, do you have a few minutes? He said, sure. I said, God's told me to wash your feet. I'm going to tell you something. There was a resurrection that came that day. See, Jesus in the garden, he demoted what he wanted. And he promoted what God wanted. And look at the benefits that we have received and are receiving. Not only did he say, deny yourself, take up your cross, but he said that we are to lose our life, that we might find it. You might be going, man, this is a hard message. You know what it is? It's a challenging message that will lead us to a resurrected life. You see, we must let go of the self-life to receive the God life. The reason why some of us are not living the full resurrected life, that growth resurrected life, is because we haven't learned to let go of what we want so that God can give us what He wants to give us. Because when He gives us what He wants to give us, it's going to be the best. It's going to be the best. Remember the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler. What did he do? He held on to the self-life, didn't he? And it said he went away sorrowful. I couldn't help but imagine what would have happened if he would have given up the self life and received the God life. He would have walked away joyous. He would have lived a life of resurrection, of supernatural power, a life of influencing others and making a difference in the world in which he lived. You see, first of all, the first phrase is keep your life. That means selfish. Being selfish, the life we want. You see, selfishness is preoccupation with self and with what self wants. The rich young ruler wanted to keep his self stuff. Therefore, he lost out on the God stuff. The rich young ruler was preoccupied with his objects. He keeps his life for himself. If we keep the self life safe and sound, all we get is the temporal. I don't want the temporal life. I've had enough of the temporal life. I want the eternal, supernatural. The Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do more than we could ask, think, or imagine according to the power that is within us. Because you see, when we die to self, the person in power, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, flows through us. You see, not only did he say keep your life, but he said give up your life. And that's selflessness. Think about what your life would be like if we lived more of a selfless life. Think of what your relationships would be like. Think of what this church would be like. And Pastor Rick does nothing but just, man, praise y'all. And man, I don't even know if I've ever heard a negative word come out of his mouth about y'all. But I tell you, I know, man, just think about what this church would be like if we would deny ourselves and take up our cross and lose our life and live the God life and be living out the God relationships. And think about what this area would be like. You see, selflessness is having little or no concern for oneself, especially with regard to fame, position. I've got to say this. There are people in the church, they go, well, bless the Lord, I'm a prophet. Well, if you're a prophet, then you shouldn't be having to pronounce it. People should be able to look at your life and tell that you're a prophet. You don't have to promote your title. The Bible says when we humble ourselves, God will be the one who promotes us. It's not about fame, position, or even money. A person cultivating the God life is not to be so concerned with the fame, the position, or the money. We are called to take steps to put our self life out of the way entirely. We are to render it useless. We are to abolish it. Now, I can hear some husbands, well, bless the Lord, if my wife would just be the wife that God says that she's supposed to be, then I would do it. Where's the focus? The focus is not on your selfishness and what you want. The real question is, husband and wife, what can we give, not what can we get? So how can we give up the self life for the God life? Turn back to Philippians 3. I'm about done. And some of you said, oh, thank goodness. Listen, you get a human to preach this to you. Pastors and preachers preach it to preachers. I'm going to tell you, when a few weeks ago, when God began to deal with me about being a better husband, it wasn't to where I was shouting hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just appreciate you rebuking me, God. But I tell you what, when I started living the resurrected life, I said, Jesus, you know what's best. You know. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But whatever was to profit, to my profit, I now consider what? Loss for the sake of Christ. What is more? I'm going further. What he's saying is, I'm going further. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, husband, friend, it's not about the type of wife that you have. It's about when we look at the relationship that we have with Jesus. Then we want to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and lose our lives that we might find it. Why? Because we're not looking at our relationship with our mate. We're looking at our relationship with God. We're not saying our mate is worth it. We're saying, God, you're worth it. Amen. Oh, glory. He considered it a loss compared to the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. What he's saying is, I consider my selfish ways rubbish, as garbage, as something that is willing to be thrown away. There's one translation that uses a more gross term, dung. If you want to think of it in that terms, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. If we want to gain Christ, then we'll die to self and be found in Him. If we want to be found in Him, we'll deny ourselves, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. See, you want to know how we grow in denying ourselves? Just look at the lady with the alabaster jar. She gave pretty much everything she had as far as finances. Why? Because she saw Jesus as worth it. And the little that we find in the scriptures, you know what? She lived a blessed, resurrected life. Why? Because she learned that life was not about what she wanted, but it was about what God wanted. You see, when we see the self life as garbage, and we see the God life as worth everything, then we'll give up the self life for the God life. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Husband, wife, it's not even about pleasing your mate first. It's about pleasing God. Yeah. You know, something that's interesting is this. When we change our perspective of God, He helps us change our perspective of people. We start to look at people through a different lens. Why? Because we're looking at God through a different lens. The question this morning is this: what will we do to live the life of denying self? What area do we need to deny self? It might be in the area of a friendship. It might be in the area of work. Let's stand. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that as we live the life of dying to self and taking up our cross and losing our life that we might find it, I thank You, God, that You give us that resurrected life.